5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's Monday.
It's June 2nd.
And the word of the day is groke, which means to stare at someone who's eating with the hope they'll offer you some food. Used in a sentence, golden retrievers are batting 1,000 against me when they groke me.
So is that who you learned it from then?
Yeah, exactly. That's what's great about being vegan. I haven't been begged for leftovers since 2013, everybody. They're all mine.
I'm no illusions.
I'm Eli Bosnick.
I'm Heath Enright. And broadcasting delayed from America's far center, we are the Skeptocrats.
Oh, this week's episode, Make America Healthy Again, starts to sound an awful lot like the Great Reset.
We start wondering why there isn't a Pulitzer Prize for Best Press Conference Question.
And X hits a person like a Tesla on autopilot.
But first, the rest of the intro music.
Joining me for headlines tonight are my fellow skeptic rats, No Illusions, and Eli Bosnick. Gentlemen, I'm trying to get better at science. So, which is better, adamantium or vibranium?
Well, are you looking for tensile strength or the ability to absorb kinetic energy? Like, better isn't a scientific measurement, Heath.
Thank you, exactly. This is why Marvel won't call us back for our spinoff pilot about three podcasters in the Marvel University, because you won't put in the work. That's why.
Okay. No answer and snark. Perfect. On brand. Okay, isn't adamantium just vibranium plus steel?
Wow.
Whoa.
You sound so ignorant right now.
See, I'm trying to get better.
It's so crazy that you would show your ass like this while everyone...
If there's magic metal and then you just add regular metal, it seems like the first one was better.
They came here for the news and you lay them down with this?
Okay.
Woof.
This is why we're on below Ben Shapiro on that graph from those Republicans. Because of shit like this.
In our lead story tonight, Robert Kennedy's health department prompted a report on the health of American children late last month called the Make Our Children Healthy Again Assessment. And it turns out, to support everything the scientifically illiterate brainworm chassis of a health secretary has been saying this whole time, imagine that. Just like the report imagines its citations. But this is, of course, an advance force meant to clear the way for an August report that will inevitably recommend fewer vaccines, less medicine, and more bullshit. And the report itself is a criminally inaccurate and homicidally misguided fraud that we need to spend a few minutes on.
Ooh, maybe RFK is just hoping that if him and the report are described in the exact same way, people won't know which one to arrest.
Oh,
know?
Interesting. Yeah.
They released an audiobook of the report read by a bag of glass, but okay. It was a little thin clear, so like strategy didn't work.
Speaking of which, so full disclosure, I have not actually read this report. It's only 73 pages and it's mostly pictures, but I just couldn't do it. When I read it, I hear it in RFK Jr.'s voice, and that's legitimate hell torture. But friend of the show, Jonathan Jerry, read it, and he wrote a really insightful piece about it that we're going to have linked in the show notes. Suffice to say, he found it unconvincing, and that was at least partly due to the fact that it repeatedly cited sources that literally did not exist and attributed conclusions to scientists who have vociferously refuted them.
Okay, if RFK hallucinates a bit more, they might arrest the AI.
Oh, there you go.
Spoilers.
Well, now, of course, one of the most insidious aspects of this report is what it gets right. Okay, so it does talk about, like, environmental risks for American children. It talks about the obesity epidemic. It talks about the rise in environmentally exacerbated chronic illnesses like asthma. But then it hijacks all those very real problems in support of RFK's misinformed crusades against fucking food dyes and vegetable-based oils.
You kids here in Flint getting a lot of seed oils? What do you mean, what's a seed oil?
Yeah, but you got to help us out with the water. It's lousy with fluoride, Bobby.
We really need help with the fluoride
here in Flint.
So, yeah, pin in all of that. So one of the main tricks this report pulls is that it points to increases in various medical diagnoses without regards to the increase and improvement in diagnostics. Right, like, for example, it talks on and on about the rise in childhood diabetes without ever admitting that much of that is the result of increased testing. In other words, the number of kids who had type 2 diabetes and didn't know about it used to be way the fuck higher. Right. The screening recommendations changed in the 90s. So the numbers of cases that we caught shot way up. And then they changed the threshold for what counted as type 2 diabetes, which obviously brings the number way up. And then they developed a much easier and more effective test. In the early 2000s, which again brings the fucking numbers up. Now, that is not to say that there's no real increase in incidence of diabetes, but the numbers the report uses are intentionally inflated by omitting all this information. But the report also misses the main villain in the actual increase in diabetes incidence. As Jonathan points out, over the last 15 years or so, the rate of childhood diabetes has actually been more or less flat in white kids. Okay, so among non-Hispanic white kids...
We're number one.
So yeah, so among non-Hispanic white kids, there's been no real increase. The actual The actual increase is showing up in marginalized communities, which means that the primary driver of this increase is poverty, food insecurity, food deserts, you know, all the shit that the Trump administration is actually making worse with their war against DEI and their proposed cuts to Medicaid and their existing cuts to programs for their poor and their fucking obsession with adding work requirements to food stamps.
Yeah, that last one's always so weird to me, because what's ironic is that the only people in the world who deserve to starve to death are the people who think that some people deserve to starve to death.
Except for you, just now. Our modest
proposal is a lot more modest than theirs, right? It's just a smaller number.
Sure, sure. But the thrust of the report is clearly anti-medicine, right? The clear implication that the reader is supposed to walk away with is that our system is too focused on drugs and not enough focused on diet. Even though the evidence for dietary intervention is very weak and the evidence for medical intervention is very strong. Because look, hey, you know what? Maybe if we all fucking ate kale and soil 3 meals a day or whatever it is that they want, we might be super healthy. But if all you do is tell people to eat kale and soy 3 meals a day, which is all you can do, we won't be. It doesn't fucking work. We tested it with science. But that's the thrust of RFK's political bias, so that's the thrust of this report.
Yeah, and sometimes you do eat a lot of soy, and you're still a fat podcaster who needs Velcro shoes. These things are tricky, is what we're saying, everybody.
Okay, the diabetes is going to help with the Velcro shoe budget eventually, right? Oh. Like, you're getting there.
Sunny optimist. Okay.
I like that you left out the kale. You were like, I eat soil a lot.
Yeah, right.
Everyone has to stop their podcast because they don't believe that. It's ruined the whole... Yeah, we're living in pretend land, but there's only so much we can ask of our audience.
Also, RFK's not... He's eating beef tallow.
Yeah, that's right.
He's not even doing a health
Yeah. Paper. And of course, look, since the actual science doesn't back up a goddamn word of what he wants to say, the HHS had to make up their own science. Or actually, of course, they outsourced the making up of their own science to ChatGPT. See, reporters noticed right away that several of the studies cited in the report just don't exist. They're made up. Which
hallucinated.
Means, yeah, right. Which means not only, you know, are they making shit up, but they're not even checking to see if they exist before they released the fucking reports. And then, of course, the reporters did a little more digging and they noticed all these telltale signs of AI generation. Stuff like listing the same citation multiple times, using long outdated links, citations that include random excerpts for no fucking reason, and even one instance where it cites the same article twice back to back but lists different authors.
Come on.
It's hard to tell if this is regular lying or too lazy to make up your own lying via computer. This is a tricky one for us in the media.
Okay, two things. First of all, how hard is it to write code for AI that says, hey, also, don't just make shit up. Don't do that. It feels not hard to code that. Mm-hmm. I know people are lunatics who can't say, I don't know, but like, make the robots do that. That can't be that hard. But also, if you're going to try to lie using OpenAI, maybe do a quick control F for OAI site in your stupid liar document. You could even have OpenAI do that for you.
Do that for you.
Sure can, or Control F do it for you. Yeah. And tellingly, by the way, when this was reported, the HHS response was not to pull this fucking report. It was to release an updated version that removed the lie citations. The conclusion stayed the same, even though the sources they were based on were figments of ChatGPT's imagination. And speaking of the federal effort to shorten our lifespans, it's time for a word from this week's first sponsor, Policy Genius.
And see this? This is the first time I wrote a check that didn't bounce.
Eli, you're wearing that shirt today.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am.
Hey, guys. What you doing?
Oh, I'm sharing all my financial wins with Heath.
Yeah, did you know Eli being out of credit debt is younger than his child?
Okay, it's not that much younger, Heath.
Right. Well, when it comes to financial wins, mine is easy.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
Well, I got life insurance from Policy Genius.
What's Policy Genius?
With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to protect the people you love and feel good about the future.
I don't know, Noah. I always find that insurance stuff kind of maze-like and confusing.
Understandable, Heath, but with Policy Genius, their licensed support team helps you get what you need fast so you can get on with your life. They answer questions, handle paperwork, and advocate for you throughout the process.
All right, Noah. I'm sold. Where do I sign up?
Secure your family's future with Policy Genius. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare free life insurance quotes from top companies and see how much you could save. That's PolicyGenius.com.
All right, Noah. Thanks. Hey, look at this picture of my first check that didn't bounce.
Eli, you're handing me a check this morning in this picture.
And have you deposited it yet?
Yeah, no, just before I came here.
Never mind then, Heath.
There it is.
And we're back. Next up in headlines in They're Making Me Side with Fucking Harvard News. As an alumni of New York University, there aren't a lot of universities I can call pompous, harmful, giant wastes of time, but Harvard University is one of them, be it their location in the racism capital of the world, an obnoxious campus dotted with statues of the old English guys who invented slavery or whatever, or the fact that statistically the biggest factor to whether or not you get into Harvard is your Y chromosome. There is a lot to hate about Big Red.
Okay, Eli's hallucinating like Grok right now. Cambridge, Massachusetts is far from the racism capital of the world. I know it's next to Boston.
I live there.
But Cambridge is pretty cool. Harvard is also about 53% women. And Big Red is Cornell. Harvard
Thank
is
you.
The crimson. But the statues of the slavery guys, that's about right. That's about right.
But, of course, far more hateable than the school that rejected me, both regular and early admission, are Donald Trump and his cronies. So,
same thing happened to me.
Yeah, thank you.
I got waitlisted, though.
I did that thing where it went like, boop, boop, and I was like, oh, my email bounced. Then they were like, no, something bounced. Thought they might like someone who had sort of a out-of-the-box thinking when it came to their math section of their SATs. But the only thing worse than that, of course, are Donald Trump and his cronies. So, in this age of strange bedfellows, it's no wonder that I find myself now rooting for Harvard University as they rail desperately against the Trump administration's war on their very existence as an institution.
Yeah, Trump has made me root for the New York Times, John Bolton, and COVID-19. Strange bedfellows indeed. Yeah. But at least John Bolton and COVID-19 are in the same bed. In the same
Yeah, seriously, almost every day when I read the news, I'm thinking to myself at some point, okay, okay, this is bad, but surely John Roberts and Amy Coney Barrett are going to be the voices of reason. Also, I agreed with Joe Rogan the other day about immigration. I didn't enjoy that.
Yeah. So here's the story. The Trump administration has been coming down on any university that had a protest against the war in Gaza last year. And that is pretty much all of them. But since this is actually a war against intellectualism, their list of demands has been insane and would actually do almost nothing to counter the anti-Semitism they claim they're fighting.
Yeah, makes it worse most of the time. So, like, I'm assuming the lizard alien bankers weren't involved, but it feels like they are involved to lots of people.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So instead, they've sent a series of batshit demands to universities, including, but not limited to, demanding the names of every international student who participated in protests last year and an end to DEI programs in the school. Period.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, look, if we're going to make random demands on institutes of higher learning, at least do good ones, like switching to metric and taking the second G out of exaggerate.
Thank you.
What the fuck is it doing there? It's supposed to be soft. That would be exaggerate.
Harder.
You would think.
But there was no place hit harder by these insane demands than Harvard, which received an especially insane list of demands because this is a war on smartness, and since Harvard is what a rich idiot thinks smartness is, they're going after them the hardest. When Harvard refused, the administration attempted to deny them all federal funding, and then, when that failed, tried to deny them the ability to accept any international students, saying that, and I wish I was making this up, the international students from China are probably spies from the Chinese Communist Party.
Okay.
Well, And look, there's probably no more valuable national resource in America than the fact that smart motherfuckers from all over the world want to come to our colleges. Of all the shit that Trump could squander that we have, that's the thing that will likely hurt us hardest and longest, and he's reveling in doing it.
Yeah. And just think about spies for like 2 seconds. If I'm China and I'm trying to spy on Harvard or spy on the United States through Harvard, I'm probably hiring a spy who doesn't write the word China on the application. That's like the FBI trying to infiltrate the KKK and sending Lenny Kravitz to do it. Like, oh, not
it did work that
the
one
move.
Time.
Yeah. So, but yeah, there's now, a movie about that. It's really good.
Now, the good news is that Harvard did win a temporary injunction against this order, but it doesn't mean they haven't been affected by having the executive branch of the government personally waging a war on them. Right. Admission is down this year. The administration has managed to delay billions of dollars of funding to the school. And also, half the country thinks they're a Chinese spy slash Hamas training ground, which is not the vibe you want on the quad, to say the least.
Well, also, intelligent students are, by definition, smart enough to know that applying to American colleges while Trump is president is putting the completion of their education at unnecessary risk. So they just won't. Right, like, regardless of how Harvard does in their lawsuit.
I feel like Yale is secretly loving this, though, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. They're behind it all.
China's openly loving it, I'll tell you that much.
So, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I unequivocally support Harvard University in their fight against the Trump administration. If they are successfully bullied into silence and policy change by Trump, it will be a significant change in academic freedom for our entire country moving forward. So here's hoping they can get that big fat endowment of theirs to do some legal work. Yeah. Am I right?
And in very fine print on both sides.
Fantastic.
News. The big, beautiful bill of more than 1,000 pages that's supposed to be about the federal budget has one little cheating clause in the fine print right in the middle. The bill is a modest proposal that basically says tax cut for the rich, eat the poor. Boring detail, 500 pages of that. Courts don't count. Boring detail, 500 more pages of that. Soda machine in the cafeteria.
Sorry, what?
I said soda machine in the cafeteria. Huh? That's all we're talking about. So that's really close to the actual thing
it's
that happened.
So
it's really
close to the thing
close.
That happened.
They tried to sneak a tiny little section into the bill that says all the power of the courts to enforce their rulings is pretty much gone. Courts would lose the ability to enforce an order against, just random example, someone who violated like 17 amendments and sent people to a torture gulag with no due process and then kept refusing to fix that. No enforcement against anyone involved with stuff like that inside 1,000 pages of budget stuff. That's what we got.
I love that they tried to sneak it in. Like, guys, I know you aren't really doing your politics jobs, but some people are doing their politics jobs.
Well, and also, like, they tried to put a no striking down our laws provision in a law that the courts can strike down. I'd love it more if they weren't already ignoring these court orders, but still.
Yeah. So here's how the system is supposed to work. If a government official breaks the law and then completely disregards a judge's order, the judge holds that person in contempt, and the penalty would be fines or jail. That almost never happens because we live in a country that's historically, at least, had an executive branch ruled by men of integrity like Richard Milhouse Nixon. But those halcyon days of Watergate integrity are over. Just in terms of illegal deportations to El Salvador alone, Trump and his team of thugs already violated orders from multiple federal judges, and they've continued to ignore follow-up orders ever since. So they wrote one single sentence into the giant budget bill that effectively says, new loophole, I'm inventing it right now, none of the court stuff, not doing that anymore. Here's the exact words. Quote, no court of the United States may use appropriated funds, read federal money, which is all their money, to enforce a contempt citation for failure to comply with an injunction or temporary restraining order if no security was given when the injunction or order was issued.
Oh my God, they're trying to make the gold fringe on the flag guys on YouTube correct in retrospect.
Okay, but I'll do that shit for free, guys. Just I'll give you my number. I just picture me just tying Trump officials to a grate in a sewer with some rope I found. I'm like, oh, sorry, I'm not allowed to spend money when we do this shit anymore. So
the key is the phrase security given. In general terms, when a plaintiff wants a preliminary injunction, for example, before a trial, you know, to stop an alleged ongoing crime while the case plays out, the judge can ask for a bond or security to be posted by that plaintiff in order to pay for the damages to the defendant if the injunction turns out to be wrong after a trial. But when the plaintiff is basically the concept of the 14th Amendment and the 5th Amendment, and the injunction is against Trump and the ICE Gestapo, it's absurd to require a bond there. So almost any judge would set the security to zero. And that's what happened with the injunctions against Trump. So that one little sentence they snuck into the bill would mean that none of the orders can be enforced because no security was given. A security of zero can't technically be given unless you write a check for $0, and that's insane behavior that nobody would ever do.
Yeah, there's like, you guys have had an instruction at the beginning of this clause that just says, read this paragraph real fast. Why is that?
And just in case you're wondering about the entire time dimension across the universe, they did cover that.
About that.
The last part of the insane fuckery clause says this applies to all orders, whether issued prior to, on, or subsequent to the date of enactment of this section. So that would mean no enforcement of temporary restraining orders, preliminary injunctions, and permanent injunctions ever issued in all of time, pretty much. One of the first people to notice the fuckery was Erwin Chemerinsky, the dean of Berkeley Law School. And he explained how it's clearly a scam to help out Trump on the deportations thing, but it's also so much worse than that on top. According to Chemerinsky, quote, because federal courts rarely required plaintiffs to post bonds, it would mean that hundreds and hundreds of court orders in cases ranging from antitrust to protection of private tax information to safeguarding the Social Security Administration to school desegregation to police reform would be rendered unenforceable. If enacted, judges will be able to set the bond to $1 so it can be easily met, but all existing orders where no bond was required would become unenforceable.
I like, we're starting over laws, everybody. We're going to build them from the ground up.
Yeah. So I guess the main thing that Trump took from the, you know, from his interregnum was that it's not about the laws. It's about the enforcement mechanisms, right? That is quite literally how they get you.
Yeah, Cha being him in this case. Mm-hmm.
And just a reminder, 215 Republicans in the House voted for the bill already. So jail. You all go to jail. And on top of that, 215, Andrew Garabrino of New York was definitely planning to vote for it, but he stepped off the floor to take a shit and missed the vote. David Schweikert of Arizona was also on board, but he slept through the vote. And Andy Harris of Maryland was present. He voted here. So that's three more Republicans right there.
Way to matter exactly as much as Maryland should, Andy. Good job, buddy.
So yeah, at best, these people didn't do the homework. And that's jail. That's jail in this case. Use ChatGPT to do the homework. Ask if there's an obvious crime in there. I just checked for myself and it said, yup, obvious crime in there. It mentioned this loophole and then it gave a giant list of evil stuff that's technically legal, just in case I was curious, though, you know, for context. Like, you didn't think we were going to check that shit? Like, I know, okay, I know we're a country of idiots who aren't going to check that shit, but we also have Erwin Chemerinsky, so it was going to get checked by somebody at least. And, very importantly, we have another top legal mind named me and my genius loophole of loopholes that I thought of. I'm pretty sure this counts. If every judge just shows an empty bag of money with $0 inside from all their old cases, that's a security that was given for all we know. Everything's a lie. Mm. Just go with it. Just lie.
Yeah, there you go.
Go with it.
All right. On that note, we're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp.
This is an ad by BetterHelp.
Hey, podcast listener. I'm Heath Enright.
I'm Eli Bosnick.
And I'm No Illusions, here to talk to you about therapy.
Whoa, 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 Noah. We're dudes.
Men.
Men, exactly. Men don't get therapy.
Therapy is for girl people.
Exactly.
Guys, 6 million men in the U.S. suffer from depression every year, and it's often undiagnosed.
It is?
It is. And online therapy through BetterHelp is a great way to solve that problem.
What's BetterHelp?
As the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a diverse variety of expertise.
So if I needed a therapist who's non-religious or LGBTQ affirming,
BetterHelp can connect you with someone. Talk it out with BetterHelp. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/skeptocrat. That's betterhelp.com/skeptocrat.
All right, Noah, thanks. We should probably add like a rah at the end, though, to keep it manly.
A rah?
Yeah, you know, like rah.
Rah, manly therapy.
Rah.
Yeah, got it.
Rah?
And we're back. Next up in headlines, and what should we talk about news tonight?
Fantastic.
Thank you. Donald Trump is in a huff because his cowardice is so predictable you can literally bank on it. You see, the world has gotten so stupid that Eli's on-air dumb guy financial advice persona has become prophetic, and buying it on the bounce has become a viable financial strategy. And the reason, let's be super clear about this, is that Wall Street is so fucking stupid that they've largely still not seen Trump for what he is. So much so that there's a term for the people smart enough to do so and profit off of it. That term is taco trade, with taco standing for Trump always chickens out. And he is so mad about that he made a bunch of threats that he'll no doubt later chicken out of.
Yeah, the Venn diagram of things that work on our president and Scrappy Doo is a circle.
And Marty McFly, yeah. Can we just like shine a laser pointer at a train tunnel painted on a mountain already or something? I don't know.
I mean, he'll walk into a wall by himself, Heath. I don't know if you're keeping up with the...
You wouldn't smash into all your executive orders.
Put a
and
ramp
break
in front of him.
You wouldn't do it.
So yeah, so the term comes from Financial Times columnist Robert Armstrong, and basically it refers to the dip that happens every time Trump announces a new suite of tariffs. Because let's face it, the stock market looks like a reverse EKG ever since fucking Liberation Day. Trump says, I'm going to impose an infinity tariff on these penguins over here, and then Wall Street goes, oh dear, infinity, that's a very high number, and they start a sell-off. And then Tyler goes to Trump and he goes, actually, an infinity percent tariff is mathematically impossible. And then Trump goes, oh, I'm delaying my infinity tariff for 90 days while Tyler talks to the people at math. And the markets more or less recover. And since the thing that's triggering Trump's retreat is the market, it stands to reason that a person watching that market can buy that dip and expect a consistent profit.
Buy it on the boats, baby!
Yeah, highly publicized trading patterns with names that everyone's doing now are perfect. You can't lose. Mm-hmm. Hey, when do you sell the bounce, by the way, Eli?
Great
when
question.
Do you sell it?
Great bouncing. Question. Gotta buy my course. It's called Sell It on the Flounce. It's on my website.
Now, the existence of the taco trade and the term isn't really skeptocrat-worthy news, but Trump finding out about it live on camera sure the fuck is. So if you want to get in line to buy CNBC reporter Megan Casella a drink, take a fucking number. She'll get to you next November because she's the one who, during a press conference that was already going pretty bad for the embattled and mentally diminished president, asked the following gleaming emerald of a fucking question. Quote, Mr. President, Wall Street analysts have coined a new term called the taco trade. They're saying Trump always chickens out on your tariff threats, and that's why the markets are higher this week. What's your response to that? End quote. And his response was everything you hoped it would be.
Kamehameha.
All right, almost everything that you hope. So after muttering for a few seconds about how he did not chicken out, and if anything, his penis is too big, he then launched into a weird tirade about our nation's relative hotness, saying, quote, this could, or sorry, Eli, you mind doing the quote?
This country was dying. We're the hottest country anywhere in the world. I went to Saudi Arabia. The king told me, he said, you got the hottest we have the hottest country in the world right now. 6 months ago, this country was stone cold dead. We had a dead country. We had a country people didn't think it was going to survive.
Adding, quote,
and you asked me a nasty question like that.
End quote.
Okay, and he was clearly about to say, the king of Saudi Arabia told him he has the hottest company, as in crypto company for taking bribes. So very clearly that's what he was talking about. And then he was like, nope.
Oh, wait. They both said
country.
So he then went on to defend his strategic retreats by pointing out that his original tariff numbers were ridiculous. So obviously those had to come down. And having bolstered his case thusly, he explained that it's called negotiation and that his administration is actually being really nice to China. Because nothing refutes a claim of cowardice like pointing out how nice you were to the person who just smacked you into submission. He even added, quote, I don't know if they're going to be nice to us, but we were very nice to China.
Cool. Yeah. Quote. Negotiator. Love it. Just to be clear, the tariffs was Trump digging a giant hole in the entire world economy.
Yep.
And then he put some of the dirt back in. And then he slid some dirt across the table in the ditch.
Yes.
And he's like, now you go. That's the negotiation he's talking about.
Art of the deal. So there you have it. It's called negotiation, not chickening out. Trump is actually super tough. And the fact that you can take his cowardice to the bank is just a coincidence.
Buy it on the bounce.
And in Black Eyed Peas himself news.
Okay, that's brilliant, Eli.
Thank you.
That makes up for a lot of misses that you just made up for with that home run.
Yeah. Head of the Department of Government Efficiency and sloppy metaphor about the dangers of capitalism, Elon Musk, left the White House this week with a press conference full of lies about his time in the Trump administration. So we're going to talk about it.
He basically called a press conference to insist that he actually wanted to go to his room this whole time.
And his room, to be clear, is the boardroom at Tesla where he got yelled at right
away.
Yes. Yeah. So first and foremost, big lie Trump pushed at this conference was that Elon and, of course, Big Balls, did a great job saving the government money, saying, quote, Elon has worked tirelessly, helping lead the most sweeping and consequential government reform program in generations, end quote.
It's only tireless because all the ketamine fucks up your sleep pattern.
Really does, yeah.
Yeah, and the other words were accurate too, I think. Like, 9/11 was sweeping and consequential.
Yeah.
Those are correct words. Baba Yaga was sweeping and consequential. Cheating at the All Valley Karate Tournament is sweeping and consequential.
Yeah,
that's
it
not
is,
helpful,
though.
Yeah. Yeah. Trump went on to list some of those reforms and pretty much all of them were lies. Trump claimed that DOGE eliminated a $59 million payment made to a New York City hotel to house unauthorized migrants. The $59 million was, in fact, the cost of the entirety of that particular federal grant made to the city, not the payment to one hotel. And something I haven't seen a lot of mainstream news pointing out, so I just want to mention it. housing people who have fled here for safety is a good thing.
Yes.
That is a good use of government money. We have a $1 trillion force of unusable, outdated fighter jets just sitting in storage. We can get a family of four a room at the goddamn Ramada.
You would think so, right? Like, the things that he's proud of is the wrong shit, and it's a lie. He's like, well, we turned hundreds of innocent people out on the streets, and we're like, no, you didn't. He's like, okay, but we tried to, though.
We took away the waffle iron grant for the Ramada. Everybody had basic continental.
Trump also mentioned the cancellation of $42 million for social and behavioral change in Uganda. Now, I'm not sure what he thought he was talking about there, but there was a $38 million contract awarded to Johns Hopkins University in 2020 to improve health outcomes in the country. The behaviors listed in that award included the correct use of mosquito nets and medicines to treat HIV infections. So that seems kind of important. Mm-hmm. And the best part is that when the Department of Government Efficiency canceled that contract in March, most of the money, about $36 million of the $38 million, had already been spent. So he saved $2 million to spread AIDS.
Yes, right. Yeah, they eliminated $2 million worth of Ugandans.
They also shut down USAID's food program while it's holding 60,000 metric tons of food worth about $98 million. We already bought that. So the cuts made us stop paying for the giving away of the food. And there's $98 million just rotting in warehouses. It would have been more efficient to keep paying those people to just throw that food in the garbage.
Right, yeah.
Would have been. And last, but certainly not least, Elon took a moment to deny the recent reporting by the New York Times that his time in the Trump administration was marked by family drama, incompetence, and the use of so much ketamine that he had started peeing himself. That refutation came in the form of the following response.
So, I think the judge just ruled against New York Times for their lies about the Russiagate hoax.
Nope.
And that they might have to give back that Pulitzer Prize,
end quote. Which you'll notice is not a denial that he pissed his pants from all the ketamine and is also a lie.
Yeah, well, honestly, I think we're doing him a favor by even blaming the ketamine, right?
Sure. Just talking about Elon taking ketamine and peeing himself, by far the most likable thing about him. That's nice. That's a favor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also, that court case is between Trump and the board of the Pulitzer Prize Committee. The New York Times is not in the suit, so a judge can't possibly rule against the New York Times who's not in the suit. The ruling just said that Trump's allowed to proceed with his insane lawsuit that's going after the Pulitzer Committee for defamation via prize giving.
Exactly. So, yeah, seems like Elon was sent off in the style that he worked, full of bullshit and doing no good for anybody. Well, except for one thing, but I'll put a pin in that for Heath to wrap up the show.
Here we go. Pin taking it right out. In Black Eyes Matter news.
Oh, that's pretty good, too.
Elon Musk got punched in the face by a 5-year-old. So, okay, there's more details, but we don't need them, right? Let's just at least pause for a second and enjoy Elon Musk got punched in the face by a 5-year-old.
Okay, so the thing that has most surprised me by 2025 so far is just how far the richest man in the world can fall while still being the richest man in the world. But, like, there are so many roads where he's flat broke now where he's less pathetic.
Oh, so many.
Sure.
Yeah.
So many. Yeah. Also, I should point out there are a lot of news outlets questioning this narrative. But as someone with a 5-year-old currently exiting a hitting phase, I can confirm they pack a punch. So, you know.
Oh, look at the optimism in currently exiting.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard that.
Good luck,
too. So when I first read the headline, I was like 50-50 that your delightful son pulled off the heroic mission of the century.
Oh,
turns out
crossed.
It wasn't that, but it's almost as good. Elon showed up for his final day at the White House with an aggressive black eye, as if designed by nature in the shape of teardrops for the amusement of us and all of humanity. And given the weapons-grade punchability of that fucking face, there was, of course, a litany of possible suspects. We eventually learned from Elon that he got the black eye because he got punched in the face by his 5-year-old son, X. named after the chromosome he was bred to have only one of, exactly one of. The full name is X, that A-E ash tree thing, A-XII Musk. And I think we all get it. If your parents give you that name, you get to punch your dad whenever the fuck you want.
Black, honestly, those eyes, yeah.
Yeah, honestly, I've been wondering if we hadn't gone with Maximilian, how many scratches I would have avoided at this point.
Right? Yeah, if you'd at least gone with Maximus, he would ask you how entertained you were afterwards.
Right, exactly.
So, Elon's doing the press conference at the White House that Eli mentioned, and right after a question about ketamine and pants peeing that Elon completely dodged, a reporter with a giant smile asked about the black eye. And Elon said, quote, Eli, you want to give us the Elon here?
I was just horsing around with little X, and I said, go ahead, punch me in the face. And he did.
And look, I know there's no direct evidence that he's lying, but there's plenty of circumstantial evidence, right? Like the fact that he was talking when he said it. But I'm choosing to believe one of the many far more salacious explanations that the DC rumor mill has produced. Well, hell, I'm choosing to believe at least one of them.
Told you not to touch the Falcon Lecter. Archimedes warned you with a prominent flap.
Okay.
Two for the show.
So, to be clear, I've heard people say, go ahead, punch me in the face many times. They were pretty much all at TGI Fridays or the parking lot outside of TGI Fridays or,
sure.
You know, hanging out with Sarah Huckabee next to her Falcon Lectern. This was a new one, though. So Trump heard Elon give that answer that it was the 5-year-old, and Trump said, I didn't notice. And Trump turned toward Elon to get a better look. And then Trump added, X could do it. If you knew X, he could do it.
Okay, so Musk and Trump said it. That is geometric proof that it's a fucking lie. Okay?
Yeah, no, I'm really feeling a lot.
It was the Falcon.
I love that Trump tried to pivot to some sort of weird compliment, like, "No, your 5-year-old could beat the shit out of you and give you a good black eye." That's important for me to say now. So from there, Elon accidentally helped answer the previous question about the ketamine and said, "I didn't really feel much at the time, but then I guess it bruises up." So, okay, what did we learn? For me, I feel like it's an important moment of reflection. I've been criticizing X for being a source of political violence for a while now, but sometimes the tree of liberty needs to be watered with the bloody eye of tyrants. 10 of 10, no notes, X, well done.
There you go.
And on that note, we're going to close it out. Thanks to No Illusions. Thanks to Eli Bosnick. Thanks to X, whatever the fuck other letters. And thanks to all the listeners who liked us and followed us on all the various internets. Please keep doing that. Please keep listening and please keep telling your friends. And if you find the naive stupidity of our giving away a free show business model to be oddly charming, you can send us gifts of money at patreon.com/skeptocrat.
One breath like I do on scathing. Here we go, Heath.
Just like atheist Eagle Scout Dan Bacon, tragically average trans woman in the Twin Cities, Audrey Guzik, Alex Holcomb, Lauren, Miles Robinson. Nope, I lost it.
But I felt your heart, Nana.
I was trying.
Yeah, nope, yep.
I got a few in and I was like, nah, there's no shot of this. So I stumble, get me out of it. Oranis, the sound of rain falling on snow. Daniel, Danny Kov, Catboy Slim, Matt, Stuart Ward, Justin B. Self. This time, I'll be the thunderstorm and you be the puzzle. Mm-hmm. Tamalin, Michael Smith, Phil Andrew, Wolf of Meebu, William Wire, Noah Schlenker, T-Bone SF, Colin Jenkel, Surf the Stoned Water Genie, White Chocolate Temptation, Eric Lehman, Peyton, John Fornetti, Rob Johnson, Scott Brown, Jonesy, Stephen Beasley, Alice Jade, Soft Snackies for Quiet Breakies. I enjoy those too. Anthony Harris, Sarah Wilterson, Robbie H., Miniver Cheevy Rides Again, James, G the D, Kale, Omnimnim, Crash Prone, Jeremy Yoder, Rebecca, Aaron J. Dunlap, Ollie Olson, Jennifer Horan, Ose Lue Sele, Eleven Gruthis, Abrian or Abria, Simmerid, ST Bridge, Neil Biles, Dirty Shirley's are kind of my thing, and Mickey McGrain. If we ever get access to a racist billionaire asking to be punched in the face. You're all on the list for the face-punching party.
Oh,
it's
shit.
Gonna be lit.
Yeah.
And whether or not you're feeling financially benevolent like those fine people, if you enjoyed our brand of whimsy and you'd like to hear more dick jokes free of charge, check out our brother and sister shows, The Scathing Atheist, God Awful Movies, D&D Minus, and Citation Needed, available in all the podcast places. We just have one last thing. Let's compliment that pianist. Special thanks to Ryan Slotnick of Evil Giraffes on Mars. He is the creator of the virtuosic musical stylings you heard today, which were used with permission. You should definitely check him out using the links we'll provide or by Googling the only band called Evil Giraffes on Mars. Until next time, catchphrase sign off. Sorry, I said it weird.
You said it so fucking weird, and I was hoping that if I moved on, it would get to stay in the podcast. Okay. Grr, peeper.
Wire-plugging. The preceding podcast was a production of Puzzle in the Thunderstorm, LLC. Copyright 2025. All rights reserved.